Hey, everybody. Welcome to Quest for Peace. I'm Aya Zaktar. I'm your sort of host. I don't consider this a real show. It's more of a talk. Normally, I have a guest every week. Next week, we'll have a guest, or the next episode, there'll be a guest. I'm still working out scheduling. If you guys know me from older shows or other ventures I've done before, you might know me as somebody who's very intense. And that is true. I have a lot of intensity, and that causes me a lot of grief. And so for about 5 years now, since I hit 29, the age of 29, I wanted to get calm and peaceful. I have a young son. I want to make sure that I grow up as a good example, and maybe I can figure out things that affected me so that that doesn't affect him. So either I'll be able to not repeat the mistakes that happened before, or I'll be able to tell him how to handle himself because he's part me. So being part me is very difficult because I'm really intense and wound up about things. And so I don't like being wound up and intense about things. Basically, what it takes is a lot of energy, second by second, to constantly be that intense. And it just burns after a while. And it's really not healthy. Quite honestly, it's not healthy. And if you haven't noticed yet, no guests this week. Guests soon. Today, I'm just going to be yammering by myself. We've got a chat room. We do this show live. You can, if you're listening and you wanted to join the chat room, go to gfqlive.tv, join the chat room, throw questions in there if you want, or you could do it on Twitter. I'm at Iaz on Twitter. That's IYAZ. Just throw me some questions there. I've got Twitter open if you've got any questions. If not, no big deal. I'll just keep yammering, occasionally take a sip of water. So if you hear a silence and you listen to the audio-only version of this show, well, you know why there's a silence. We also, we've got at GFQnetwork.com, we've got feeds up now for video and audio. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes if you want. So if you're like, I just want to get this episode, I want to get all the episodes as soon as possible, we've got all that stuff up there. So go check out that page. It's really great. Brand new redesign at GFQnetwork.com. I'm really excited about it, and I'm happy to be a part of this. And we stream this show on Sundays, usually at 2 o'clock Pacific time. The next couple of weeks will be a little funky, but hang in there. There'll be more stuff. So what the heck am I going to talk about today? It's something pretty simple. I was thinking about this for a while, and I wanted to talk about making unpopular decisions. Now, that might not sound like a topic for somebody who's looking for inner peace. Why would unpopular decisions really have anything to do with that? Well, in my case, I have found that a lot of the things I have done for myself to make myself happy doesn't exactly resonate with everybody. I grew up in a very strict household. You were expected to be a lawyer or a doctor. So as you guys are well aware, I am not a practicing lawyer or doctor. I happen to be sitting here talking to you guys. I work at CNET. I work in tech. And I'm an editor. So that's not exactly what I'm trained to do. It's not what my folks were planning for me when they had me. You know, I was one of four kids. We're all expected to be doctors or lawyers. Now, this is before the rise of the engineers. So lawyer or doctor. So I have a bio degree because I went into Boston University. And I was like, you know what? You have a good bio program. They want a lawyer or doctor. Biology. So in the middle of that, I got tired of biology. I really enjoyed sociology, and so that gave me an entry into law. It's like, okay, law is pretty cool. I enjoy this, and it's my other option. I didn't want to be a doctor. My level of interest in science was not that of somebody who should be doing this professionally. I just didn't. It just didn't speak to me or resonate with me in a way that I enjoyed, and law did. Law and just all of this abstract thinking that's involved with law, philosophy, and sociology, just to figure out patterns where you don't think there'd be any patterns. That was very fascinating to me. I'm a problem-solving kind of guy, and as you can see, I'm trying to solve the problem of inner peace, which I still think is not the right attitude to have. You're not trying to solve anything. But this is just, I'm just explaining my pursuits for peace and what I've done to try to make it happen. And maybe it'll help you if you hear something that resonates with you and you're like, hey, you know what? I was going through the same thing. Or you're like, wow, that dude is messed up. At least I'm not as bad off as him. Either way, hopefully you're getting something out of this program where I'm just yammering on and on and on. And so when I went into law, that was actually somewhat unpopular. While I had two options of lawyer or doctor, my parents, or my mom in particular, she wasn't exactly happy with this concept. You know, why are you switching what you're doing? And I told them, listen, I'm going to stick to my bio degree. And I do have a biology degree at this point. And it was because my brain didn't like the material I was working with. And if I wasn't happy with it, I didn't want to spend, you know, 4 years in medical school, several years in specialization training, and then maybe enjoy what I'm doing. Because don't forget, no matter who is unhappy with your decision, so imagine it's your parents, maybe it's your significant other, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's just your friends. They just think that your idea is crazy. The person who has to live with your decision each second of the day is you. So when nobody's around and you're just alone, you're always going to have those decisions on you. So that's something I dealt with really young. I was thinking, you know what? If they don't like it, they don't have to deal with it every single second. I do. So while my mom might not like something or my dad didn't like something, well, they had other things to worry about. I was one of four kids. Worry about one of the other kids. They had bills. They had cars. They have stuff to worry about. I have my own life to worry about. And if I wasn't going to make myself happy, if I was going to live the life that somebody else told me to have, I would not like that. Now, one of the things I do as a trick in general with things I don't like to do, there's a lot of things I don't like to do, like going to the DMV or waiting around at the airport. These are not exciting activities for me. They're not like, hey, I really want to do this. But if you ever get stuck with me at the DMV or at the airport, usually I'm the happiest guy there. And there's a reason for that. I like to make the best out of bad situations as much as I can. I have a full expectation that when I go to the DMV, that it's going to be a long wait. When I go to the airport, it's going to be a long time. There's going to be certain looks at me because I happen to be of an interesting skin tone. There's going to be some kind of randomness when I've gotten checked a very, very unrandom amount of times, it seemed like. And I came in with an expectation. It's these expectations that actually create all of these problems. So when I go into these things, all right, I'll make it a game. I'll either entertain myself with a device or a book, or I'll just sit there and try to come up with stories in my head as to what everybody else is doing there that day. I know that seems strange, but it's making the best out of a bad situation. Now, I can only do that for so many things, and I can't do that with my career or my life or my social life. I can't make these decisions where, all right, I'll make the best out of a bad situation. Sometimes you run into problems like friends, right? Now, I've had a lot of friends over the years, and sometimes I've had friends that just kind of tore me down, or they weren't terribly supportive of my crazy ideas, and for good reason, by the way. They weren't like crazy people, but they weren't there to lift me up. And they would disappear when bad stuff would happen. So these people weren't my friends in the first place. And as terrifying as it is to be out on your own, to say to people, you know what, I'm not hanging out with you. Your opinion doesn't matter because it's causing me grief. Well, I'm going to be by myself. That is terrifying, this idea of being alone and going at whatever you're trying to do by yourself, because something in your head says, you know, me, I've got this idea. We can do this ourselves. We don't need anybody else to do this, which is kind of scary. Like I keep saying it's scary because it was, because I've done things like that. My suggestion to you, if you're in a situation where you have somebody constantly tearing you down, bringing you down, and they think your ideas are crazy, and they're telling you, you know what, you have to do what we tell you to do, or you're not a part of our group, you got to make decisions. You got to decide how are you going to do this. Are you going to buckle and follow along, potentially not enjoy your time just because the comfort of being surrounded by people is better to you than the discomfort of being alone but pursuing something that makes you incredibly happy? Silly story. This happened at a very young age for me when it came to, I am not going to care, or at least I will try not to care what people think of me because I have to make decisions that make me comfortable. It was eighth grade. Picture this. Sicily. Sorry, that's a Golden Girls joke. Picture this. Rye Park? Rye Beach. Where, you know, the Coney Island theme park is. I went over there as in a school trip. Now, in this school trip, it was the whole class, our whole class of 60 kids. Not a whole lot of kids in this class. We go out to Rye Beach, go to the roller coaster section, and my friends are like, Ayaz, get on the roller coaster. At this point of my life, I am not for coasters. I am terrified of these things. At least I was then. I did not want to go. And it was one of the wooden coasters, which I know aren't fun because they are rickety. And so my friends look at me and start saying to me, you're not going to go on the coaster? And I said, no. They go, then you're just nothing but a big chicken. Are you a chicken? You're going to go on this coaster. So now, granted, it's not exactly the kind of insult that should cause any grown adult to go, well, you know, I'm no chicken, but I don't really care. You're 12, 13 years old. You're not exactly the smartest kid on the block. Actually, I was pretty bright, but I wasn't exactly super secure in myself and be like, yes, yes, that is a very, very good insult. You're calling me some kind of poultry. I have no sense of what could possibly make this better. So I look at them and they start looking at me and they start saying, you're going to be chicken, chicken, chicken. So what I did is I looked them right in the eye and I started clucking. I kid you not, I started clucking and flapping my arms, at which point they started laughing and they said, ah, fine. And they left, they went to the coaster, and they got sick after the coaster, by the way. And I got to hang out with the girls, which wasn't bad because I was in eighth grade and I liked girls and they were cute girls then. Not now because that's weird. But anyway, it's a really scary thing to go, okay, what am I going to do right now? Am I going to just go and be terrified? Am I going to go and – or am I going to just like do something that's going to be different? I'm going to do this this decision that, sure, my friends might not like it, but whatever. They came back. They were still my friends and they were like, you were probably right not to go on that coaster. And I was like, ha, ha, ha. I was right. But that's not the point. It's not to be right. It's to be comfortable or following something. So let's go back to this unpopular decision thing. What caused a lot of my unpopular decisions is I know that I had to do something different. I'm part of a group. Everyone's like, hey, this has happened actually fairly recently. I was hanging out with some people. And they're like, oh, this event is happening. We're going to go get trashed. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm 34 years old. I'm going to be 35 in October. I'm not like, let's get trashed guy anymore. Maybe when I was 20 something, but I'm 34 years old. I've got a 3-year-old son. I have to wake up really early in the morning. I've got a lot of things I've got to do in the course of a day. I'm not that guy. So I'm already thinking, I'm not going to make that decision to go with you. And they're like, you're not? I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. Which the faces on people when you say things like that, they just kind of, they get a little depressed or they try to egg you on, but it's not something that you should have to give into. So you got to have somewhat of a sense of trust in yourself to believe your decision is the one that works for you. So if you got a bunch of friends or family are telling you something otherwise, they're just saying to you, hey, don't, you got to do what we're saying, or like, let's go with the flow. You know, it might not be the way to go. It's just so much easier to stay light than to shake things up because people don't like shakeups. But if you don't shake things up, you'll never have change. So if you're like me and you were thinking, hey, I need to make a change in my life. I need to be happy. I need to figure out what it takes. What is the thing? What's the passion I have? What do I want to do? What do I want to be? Because there are a lot of people, what they are is their job, right? Some people will go out and most people go, you know, how do you do or what do you do? Most people say their job. They don't say like, so somebody says, what do you do? And they're like, I'm a banker. Not like, oh, I like to kayak. That's very different. You know, what do you like to do is very different than what your job is. So the question is, how do you define yourself? And for me, and as you guys have seen over the years, if you've been following my career, I've been in tech for 8 years now. And that was just pure passion and hobbies. Making it some kind of career out of a hobby, that was not a popular decision. I got to say, my family was not for this. They were wondering why I was doing it. A lot of folks, when they meet me and they find out I have 2 law degrees and a bio degree, go, why the heck are you doing this now? Shouldn't you be doing something else? Like, shouldn't you be in law? Shouldn't you be? It's like, yeah, but there was no jobs. I'm enjoying what I'm doing, and I'm following my passion. When you follow a passion in general, just hardly ever feels like a job, because what you're doing is what you want to do. And there's something about this idea in my head, and I've mentioned this several times. If you keep putting off being happy, you might never be happy. So the question is, what are you going to do right now? How are you going to do this? And in my case, and maybe yours, you might be running into the unpopular decision issue of, well, I got to start a new career. I got to do something different. I've got to figure this out. But as scary as that is, it's the thing you need to do. So it might be uncomfortable. This is another thing. Like I mentioned this really quickly. But there's the comfort level is not something you'll find. It's not really easy to go, you know, I'm going to disregard all of this other stuff. I'm going to hear, this is my family telling me not to do this. You know, people closest to you on the planet telling you not to do this. And you might not have anybody telling you it's a good idea. But you're going to be scared. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. And there's going to be a lot of times where you fail. And trust me, I have failed a million times. I have done horrible podcasts. I have written horrible articles. I have done so much work that I'm embarrassed of at this stage in my career because, well, I'd like to think I've improved. The first stuff you do is always the worst stuff. But the thing is, once you get a start, it gets better. So it's whether you're willing to handle that discomfort of being in an unpopular situation. Now, all that being said, you might have a bunch of people trying to tear you down. If you can find people around you, if you can surround yourself with these kinds of people that actually are there to build you up, that are willing to, I wouldn't say humor your crazy ideas, but they're willing to go, I'm behind you, whatever it is you're going to do. You think this is what you can do? And you say, yeah, I can do this. I think I can do this. And here's what I'm going to do it. All right. Well, let's think about it logically. Figure out the logical discussions. Have your reasonings written out. This kind of stuff kind of helps to definitely write things out when it comes to making these kinds of big decisions or small decisions, whatever they may be. Then the more people you have around you that actually support what you're doing, and I'm not talking about a yes man, I'm talking about somebody who actually just supports you, what you do. The more of these people you have, these people you admire as well, people who inspire you, people who are willing to help you, if you can only have these kinds of people around you, you're going to be able to do pretty much anything. So if you're out there and you're surrounding yourself with a bunch of people that you just don't really like, or you guys have just hung out forever, so that's why you still do it, or whatever reason it may be, that this isn't necessarily the same group of people that will help you get to where you want to be. I know this sounds really cold to say, hey, you guys, college friends, you guys were great. You know, we hung out in college when we were 18 to 21, 22. We really hung out and we got drunk and went to hockey games. That's fantastic. But your interests no longer are aligned with mine. And while it's fun to hang out at barbecues and such in the long run, it's not the same group of people you want to hang out with on a day-to-day basis. So that might make you do things like, I don't know, switch careers. It might make you move across the country. Like me, I moved across the country. All kinds of crazy things that it's scary to do this stuff. By the way, I want to mention me moving out to California. I just got past my third year in California. I moved on the 25th of March, 3 years ago. And now I've been out here for 3 years and 5 days. I'm recording this on the 30th of March. And so that was a scary freaking leap. Let me tell you that. Really, really scary. Because coming out here, don't know anybody. I knew the people I was going to be working with. And that's like a handful of people. But I didn't know anybody in this town. I didn't know this town, Petaluma, California. I didn't know anything. But I went out there in a crazy way. And paid off. Quite enjoyed it. And so that's the kind of stuff I'm telling you about. Like this, my mom was not happy about this, me moving to California. We'll say that. My friends were confused too. They're like, you're moving out to California. You know, you've been out here for 30 years. I'm like, yeah, I know that. But it's what I have to do. I have to go do this. Like, I have to make this. The weird thing is I almost felt compelled to do it. I don't know if you guys have that kind of bizarre intensity, because when it comes to creative things for me, I feel like I have to do it. I need to get writing out of my head. I need to get an idea across. I need to, I just need to do things. It's not so much, I wouldn't even say, I guess they're not decisions. They're just things that drive me. So it's a crazy kind of thing. And let's see, what should I tell you about now? So we're talking about unpopular decisions. I talked about resources before the other day. We've got some upcoming guests coming. And if you guys are in the chat room right now, I see there's 52 of you. If you got any questions about anything, actually, let me know. Again, we're at irc.gfqnetwork.com if you want to join the chat room. But yeah, unpopular decisions. Like, this is something I'm definitely going to explore with certain guests, because I've got some friends that do some weird stuff. And I'm really curious why and how they managed to do this in the face of all things. I've known artists and broadcasters and whatever. These are positions that weren't they're not exactly things that were welcome to my family. I want to mention something that I haven't really talked about very much, was my original passion as a kid. It's the one I actually gave up on. Which is I don't talk about this very often, but I wanted to be a comic book artist when I was a kid. So I would look at comic books and I'm like, this is great. I really want to do this. My mom taught me how to draw when I was like five. She drew a Spider-Man. So we had this coloring book, maybe it was four, coloring book, and there was Spider-Man. I'm like, that's great. That's awesome. I'm like, can I get another one? So my mom actually drew Spider-Man. Now at the time, actually to this day, Spider-Man is actually one of the most complicated characters to finish. You can draw the body and you can draw the thing, you can draw the form, but the webbing is actually somewhat of a pain to draw. I know this because I've done it before. Well, my mom taught me how to draw at the age of five, so I was drawing like crazy, and I'd fold up pieces of paper and draw little comic books and things, and always draw sketches of superheroes. And this is Image Comics time, so everybody had really, you know, wavy hair and like lots of pockets and things, because, you know, I'm a kid. And this was not a hobby that was supported by my mom. My dad let me buy stupid things like pencils and art boards so I could draw. And I got my work critiqued when I was a kid, so it wasn't very good. But I gave up on that. I decided, you know, I'm not going to go into this. And I didn't even bother in college to take any art courses. Now I do regret that. It's one of the few things that in my life I regret not doing. I should have pursued that a bit. I could still do that. From time to time, I'll sketch things. But back then, drawing was just like video for me then. It was something I had to do. I think they're still in Queens. I have like sketchbooks upon sketchbooks upon sketchbooks that are filled out. Just drawings and ideas and bizarre things that were drawn in there. Just learning anatomy and then drawing buildings and things, because you got to draw backgrounds if you're going to do comic books. And I will say that I did at that time as a kid growing up, I actually let outside influences stop me from continuing to do something that I think I could have really enjoyed. I don't know if I'd be any good at it, but possibly I could have been something. I don't really consider myself an artist, but I can draw if I have to. You know, whatever my kid asks me to draw, I can try to draw something for him. If you're out there and you got a dream and you let it go, go get it. Go back and try it again, because why not? Because what else you have to lose? Got a question from the chat room now, Jackie Hearn asking, how long did it take you to feel comfortable with friends out in Petaluma? I assume it was easier because you brought your family. Well, it did. It took me a while to get used to Petaluma, because Petaluma is a small town. I was originally planning to move to Manhattan before I got this job offer out in Petaluma, and I was all gung-ho to go to a city. So because of where I worked was so tight-knit and small, it was pretty easy to get to know people and go out. Well, after this, especially after the studio was built, because that was a lot more open. So I got to interact with a lot more people. So while my family was here, it was still kind of weird because, I mean, it was a young, I have a young son, so he was just growing up. So it's not like he's a formed person. He's getting there now. I talked to him today. He's very pleasant. But yeah, hanging out with friends. The other thing is the idea of splitting your time evenly with enough people, making sure that everybody who's important gets your attention, because that's the most important thing, really. Let's see. Any other questions from the chat room? Not a heck of a lot. Let's see. Maybe I want to hit one more point before I wrap this up. I want to talk about motivation. A little bit about motivation. I've been using an app called Lyft. I think it's like at lyft.do. Let me see if that's the right one. Lyft.do. Now, Lyft is not the car service, not that particular one. This is about maintaining goals. And it's a really simple... Lyft's about maintaining goals. And it's a really simple idea. It's the chain calendar concept, a bit of a social network on top of it. And if you use this app, it's at lyft.do. I believe it's... Actually, I know it's on iOS and Android. So if you're on that, go ahead and add me or follow me. I'd follow you back. And what it lets us do as people who are trying to find happiness, you can choose the things you need to do daily to make you happy. In my case, I need at least 3 things every freaking day to really be happy. Number one, I need to sleep. This is actually goes back to an unpopular opinion thing. I go to sleep at 9:30 every night. I try to go to sleep at 9:30. Okay, because I have to get up at around 5:30, and I need 8 hours of sleep. If I don't get my 8 hours of sleep, I'm not happy. I'm not moving very well. Just not necessarily a good day. So that's the first thing I need to do. So I'll track my sleep with that, and I can just say sleep a number of hours, and I can hit plus or a check mark. That's one thing I need every single day. Second thing I need to do every freaking day. I kid you not, if I don't do this, I'm a monster. Exercise. If I do not exercise in the course of a day, you don't want to be around me by the end of the day. I need that exercise. It provides a ton of great mental benefits for me. I have a sense of accomplishment. Added to that, I have a body that's going to do better in the long run. So I have a bit of peace of mind. So when my son is older and graduating college, I'm not some feeble old person. I want to be a strong person for him. Also being a good example. Also, you know, the drugs, they don't hurt. You're bathing your brain in endorphins, especially if you're pushing yourself as hard as you can. So there's that. And then the other thing I need every single day, breakfast. I sometimes act like I'm busy. Oh, you know, I don't have time for breakfast. That's the dumbest idea for me, because I found out when I didn't do that, I'd get cranky. When I don't eat, I get cranky. I know that sounds like a child, but that's exactly true. That's another thing I've done a lot of. I'm like, you know what, and I'll talk to myself like that. I go, dude, you have to face reality. You want to think that you don't need sleep? You want to think that you don't need exercise? You want to think you don't need to eat breakfast? But when you don't, you are a freaking monster. Nobody wants to hang out with you. You're not pleasant. Everything is irritating. Absolutely everything. It's like, oh, did this happen? Oh, I got a paper cut. The world is over. Now, that's not necessary. I found out that those are the 3 things. It used to be, I thought it was 2. Just needed exercise and breakfast. And I'm like, no, I really need sleep. So I got to sleep at 9:30, especially since I have to get up early. Got to sleep at 9:30. Got to wake up in enough time to have breakfast. And I have to make time to exercise at night. So that means you get home late, around 7 o'clock. I exercise 7:30 to 8:30. And then I get to eat dinner. And then I got to go to bed. So I know it's not exactly an exciting life right now. And I'm working to live closer to work soon. But the idea is, while I am in this scenario where I have a long commute, I need to do these items because they are the most important. Prioritizing such events as exercise and telling people, oh, they want to do something with you. I'm like, no, I got to exercise. It's like, oh, let's go out to the bar tonight. I'm like, I got to get home. I got to get some sleep tonight. This is at work. I work in San Francisco. So sometimes after work, folks are like, hey, you want to do something? I'm like, I can't. I got to get on the bus. I got to get home. It's kind of a strange idea to say I'm turning down certain fun activities just so I can do these important things for me, because without them, I know what happens. It might not even be popular with you. This is not a popular decision by me. I don't even like this idea. What do you mean I got to run home so I can exercise? I would much rather be going out with my friends after work to a bar, drinking some beers, come home, go to sleep, kind of wake up groggily, get back to work and whatever, and then do it over again. But I know how I act that day. I know what's going to happen. I know that next day I'm not going to perform as well. It's going to take my brain a little bit more work to think, and it's not advantageous for me to do that. My brain likes to play tricks on me, so to weaken it is a bad idea. One of the things I should do every day that I don't is meditate. I've mentioned this a bunch of times, but I do find that in exercise, since I'm so in the moment when I'm exercising, because there ain't nothing I'm thinking about other than lifting my leg up. If I'm running and doing high knees, I'm just thinking one thing. Meditation when I'm not exercising is very helpful. That is something I should be doing a lot more of, and I try to do that on the bus. But I usually do when I'm stressed. And thankfully, because I'm doing the three things that are super important to me, I'm not as stressed. I've actually had a series of really good days because I've just been enjoying what I'm doing. And I am relatively proud of myself for exercising a bit more because I needed it. I badly needed it. For those of you who like exercise, I'm doing Insanity. I'm on day 13. Actually, I just finished up 2 weeks then because that's what I have to do. I know. I'm getting older. I'm going to hit 35 this year. And I need to slim down. So I need to be around at 35 and be very healthy and 36 and 37 once I hit 40. And I'm finding, I will say this, and I know people don't say, Ayaz, you're not old. It is harder now at the age of 34 to lose weight as quickly as I used to when I was in my mid-20s. That is a biological fact that it's harder, and that is something I'm experiencing now. So I am working very hard now, so that way in the long run, I don't have to worry about it. And that actually will make me happy. Exercise is just another part of my quest for peace. Like, it keeps my brain happy. I like being able to walk around and be able to run around and be able to do things. It's almost sad when I can't chase my kid around for a while, or I get tired going up and down stairs. That's just really, really difficult. So if you are doing things that make you depressed, well, you got to fight those things. So if it's your job you don't like, or you don't like your body, or you don't like the way you feel when you wake up in the morning, you have to examine exactly what happens. And you might have to go, look, I need to sleep early, I need to eat right, and I need to do this. This stuff is not fun. And the rest of the world is not built for this. The U.S. is not built for that. You go outside, you get a plate of food. It's turning into an exercise sermon, and I apologize. But this is very important to me, and it actually helps me to be happy. You go out, and you get like a plate that's about the size of like a Thanksgiving plate. It's just a ton of meat, ton of sides, everything's coated in butter. That stuff, I know for myself, that doesn't help me. I have a bad time. I don't feel good after it. I regret eating it. And then the next day I have to deal with that and gain weight. Anyway, so if you need to be the picky person at the table, like I've been, somewhat unpopular sometimes. It's like, yes, can I just have a chicken breast that's grilled with a side of asparagus, please? That actually sounds pretty good. I'm pretty hungry right now. Sounds like a great idea. Anyway, I'm going to wrap up this episode of Quest for Peace. I want to just plug some more things real quick. You can ask questions all you want on Twitter, at Ayaz, whatever you want. Just ask me. You don't need a hashtag or anything. I'm always paying attention to Twitter. Hashtags don't hurt. You can do Q4P if you want, the number 4, or you can write the letter. I don't really care. Either way, just at reply me. I will let you know some answers, hopefully either through Twitter or on the show. There's that. I would also like to promote that we record this show live. The best way to actually check what time it's going to be is to check out my Twitter feed, because I'll tell you when we're going to go live. But it's normally supposed to be 2:00 on Sundays Pacific time at gfqlive.tv. And we've got a chat room. Join in. Ask questions there if you want to. Share your ideas. I'm always looking for answers. Actually, somebody on Twitter wrote in and asked me about the role of religion in happiness. Now, I would like to talk extensively about that at some point, but I did touch upon that in episode 5. We had Radford Castro on, and we talked a bit about religion there. So definitely check out episode 5 if you're into that kind of thing. So we stream stuff. You can follow me on Twitter. And don't forget, you can subscribe. We've got links. We've got feeds. I'm super happy about this. GFQnetwork.com. Look, go to shows, go to Quest for Peace, and you can get the audio feed, the video feed. Do whatever you want there, and that would be phenomenal. So you can get the episodes all you want. So even if I don't record on that Sunday, you'll get an episode. It might be on a Thursday or whatever it might be. But just go out there and get the feed. If you want, tell friends, you know, do that kind of thing. Tell two friends, and then tell two friends. This is an oddball experiment for me. So if you guys like this, that's good to know. If you don't like it, let me know why you don't like it. We can figure that out. Like I keep saying, it's not really a show. It's more of this idea of talking about finding inner peace. And I want to finish today's episode with a quote I saw this morning from Lao Tzu. It's, if you are depressed, you're living in the past. If you're anxious, you're living in the future. If you're at peace, you are living in the present. Now, that quote hit me in the head this morning, and I was just thinking, that's dead on right. Depressed, you're thinking about something that happened. And if you're anxious, you're worried about what's coming up. And it's living in the now that's really, really important. If you can do that, if you can understand what it is to be present, be mindful, you do find peace. And I know that some of the most peaceful moments for me, this might sound crazy, so I might be sweating like crazy doing insanity when I hit the ground because I've fallen down. I'm not anxious and I'm not depressed. I'm just thinking, I got to get up. That's pretty much it. So that does it for us this week. And I will see everybody soon. The scheduling is going to be weird. So follow me on Twitter. I'll have updates as to when the next episode's coming. But there will be another episode. And we'll find some peace with a guest. Maybe even Eileen Rivera. So I'll see everybody soon. Bye.